Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
So I just can't imagine what somebody said to hurt him so badly. Unfortunately, I could see my son saying, let's get the f*** in the car and we're going home. If you got in the car, what was said between Baird and her grandparents' house is a 20-mile, 25-mile drive. It was broad daylight when he walked off. Everybody keeps making a big deal out of the storm. I seen him in the videos, in the surveillance cameras, walking. He did not appear drunk. He was upset. He was on a mission. He knew where he was walking and he was going there. If I would have been driving by, I would have thought, oh, that's a nice looking kid on a walk. I mean, he didn't look like he needed help. You know, nobody wrote a book on how to handle when your son goes missing. I just don't want my son's name forgotten. I believe somebody did something to him and they need to pay for it. He's not a kid that walked away to start a new life. That's not my son. He would never do that to his family, his brothers, or that little baby.
On July 6, 2019, 25-year-old Chance Engelbert spent the day golfing with his wife's family in Gearing, Nebraska. He left with his wife, Bailey, and their infant son. Together, they went to her grandparents' house to pick up a few things. According to Bailey, it was in her grandparents' driveway around 7:30 p.m., that Chance got out of the car and walked away, heading toward Tarrytown. He was last seen on surveillance walking in that direction. He's never been seen again. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 197 of The Vanished, Chance Engelbert's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. 25-year-old Chance had an amazing support system. He has loving parents and brothers whom he was very close to. Just 9 months prior to his disappearance, he married Bailey. Chance and Bailey had a son together in May of 2019. He had worked as a welder at a mine until he was laid off when two mines were closed, but had recently gotten a new job. Chance was looking forward to starting that new job, but disappeared before he ever had the chance to. For this story, we spoke to Chance's aunt, Katie. While Katie isn't actually a blood relative of Chance's, he called her Aunt Katie because she was especially close to his family. Katie told us about Chance.
Honestly, their family is just really good friends to my family, but I'm Aunt Katie, you know? They're not blood, but they're family. You know, we would do anything for any Engelbert. I got to meet Chance when he was 8 months old. Just an amazing, amazing person. Always has been. Sorry, I might cry on you. Just a happy person, laid back when he was a baby, just loved everybody. My grandma babysat him, and so their family. I mean, he's called me Aunt Katie since the day he could talk. Just a great person. And as he got older, it never changed. He lived with me as an adult. I lived in Gillette, Wyoming, and while he was going to college, I got him a job at the coal mine. for the summer so he could make good money and have some extra money throughout the school year. And then when he graduated college, he came and lived with me full time while he got started in life. And so he lived with me probably off and on for 4 years. And when the day he told me he was moving out, he was very emotional. He just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings ever. And he was practically in tears and told me, you know, Aunt Katie, I'm going to go live with my buddy. And I'm all like, great, you know, I want you to. And he's like, you're not mad at me? And I'm like, no, I would never be mad at you. I let you live here so you could, you know, save your money and figure out what you wanted to do. And if you wanted to stay here and not be committed to something, I said, I want you to grow and be an adult and do those things. And just, you know, and I could call him at any time. And no matter what it was, he would be there to help me when I still live there. And, you know, even right up until the last time I talked to him, you know, I sent him a text that was, you know, I'm so proud of you that as soon as you got laid off from your job, that you went out and found another one, you didn't whine and cry. And I just want you to know how much I love you and how proud of you I am. And I got back thinking, Aunt Katie, love you too. You know what I mean? He was just that kid.
From what everyone told us during our research into this case, everyone who knew Chance loved him. We spoke to his childhood friend, DJ, and he echoed these same sentiments when we asked him how he met Chance and what his personality was like.
His grandma actually lived right next to us, and he was always at his grandma's, and we've grown up around each other since I can remember. Funny as can be, hardworking, kind of a little bit of a smart ass when he wants to be, just all around good person.
DJ said that for some time, Chance and his wife Bailey had lived with him. We asked DJ what he remembers from this time.
Chance and Bailey actually lived with me for a while. Some days better than others. They'd argue every now and then, not a whole lot, but she'd accuse him of doing stupid stuff that he'd never do and get mad at him for talking to his mom too much. Just immature high school stuff, I guess, is a good way to explain it.
Bailey and Chance married young, and almost a year prior to his disappearance. But when we spoke to Bailey, she said that her relationship with Chance was everything she had hoped it would be.
So my ex-boyfriend used to rodeo with his younger brother, so I always like knew who he was. And after I broke up with my ex, we just started talking. And I don't know, everything went from there. His personality is, I don't think I've ever met anyone with like a bigger heart. He'd be getting off a night shift, just tired as hell. And somebody would call and would need something, and he'd just be crawling into bed, and he'd get back out and get dressed, and he would never complain or always ready for a good time. He would never let me be upset. He'd always make me laugh. October of 2017 is when we like really started talking, and we got married. Yeah, a year later, actually, from when we started talking. So that's kind of cool. When you marry your best friend, it's a lot better than what other people make it out to be. My parents split up when I was pretty young, so I always knew like what I didn't want to do and what kind of marriage I didn't want to have. And he's very much like family oriented and knew what kind of marriage he wanted to have. And we were very clear with both our expectations. And we honestly like never argued really about anything. And if we did have a problem, it was resolved pretty quickly. And it was pretty easy being married to him.
We also spoke to Chance's mom, Dawn, and she told us about the last time she and her husband heard from their son.
Saturday afternoon, my husband had texted him and said, there's a box here for you, bud. And he said, oh, great. That's probably something. I don't remember what he told Everett it was. We'll be home Sunday to get those because I start my new job Monday morning at Blakeman's. I'm going to be doing a lot of welding. So I'm going to have you help me with his welding, whatever, hood. I don't understand all that talk, but Everett knew exactly what he's talking about. And we expected him here Sunday afternoon. We would have never dreamed anything like this would have ever happened.
On July 6th, 2019, Chance, his wife, and their infant son had traveled from their home in Moorcroft, Wyoming, to visit Bailey's family in Gearing, Nebraska, about a 3.5 to 4 hour trip. Dawn described how she found out that something was wrong and Chance was missing.
His dad and I were just sitting at home that Saturday night, and I got a message from Matt Miller to please call me right away. And so I called him and he just said, hey, Mama Dawn, I just talked to Chance and he's had a little little run in and gearing and wants to get out of there. Can you go get him? I have people here and we've been drinking all afternoon and you're closer to him. So I said, well, Matt, I'm not sure if he'll want to talk to us, but either his uncle or somebody will reach out and try to get him. And so I had his uncle and his aunt and then his dad and then I all text and called him and he wouldn't answer any of us. None of our messages ever came back. I know that I sent him a message on Sunday afternoon or Sunday about 11. And about 4 days later, that one did get sent back to me. So I know he did get my text messages on Saturday. I would say must have been sometime after 9 o'clock that night, 11 o'clock. I guess I did kind of see that there was some data used at about 11 o'clock that night. Again, it doesn't show any phone calls, any text messages or anything after 9:08 on Saturday night. So my husband wanted to leave right away and go. And Bailey assured him that they were out looking and there wasn't much that they, you know, it was going to take 2.5 hours for him to get there. And he came in the house. He was quite upset. And I said, honey, you know, it's going to be dark and she'll get him found and they'll get things worked out, whatever happened. We didn't really know what happened at that time. The only reason we did talk to Bailey Saturday night is when he wouldn't answer our calls, my husband reached out to their neighbor, Larry, who also worked with Chance and has been to the ranch several times and is a very good friend, an older friend. And so Everett reached out to him to see why Chance didn't get a hold of him instead. And he said he didn't know anything. And he said, but let me call Bailey. So Bailey explained to him whatever happened. I don't know. I never did talk to Larry again about it. And he told Bailey, you have got to call Chance's dad. You can't not call his dad. They got off the phone and Bailey called my husband and they talked and that's, you know, she just said, well, we're out looking and we're don't worry about coming down tonight. And my husband was uneasy about that, but I said, what are we going to do in the dark anyway? And
so Chance walked away from his wife's grandparents' house in Gearing, Nebraska around 7:30 p.m. There were two reported sightings of Chance shortly after he left the home on the 400 block of O Street. He was seen on a surveillance video at 7:51 p.m. in the area of Martha Road and 10th Street, walking northbound on 10th Street. A witness believed that they had seen Chance a few minutes after he was captured on video in the area of Terry's Lake, which is just a few minutes' walk from where he was seen on video. Law enforcement was able to obtain ping information from Chance's phone, and it was reported that his phone last pinged in the area of a truck stop that is about an hour walk from Bailey's grandparents' home. But while speaking with a reporter from the Scotts Bluff Star-Herald, an investigator clarified that the data comes from an arc that covers an area that is a couple miles long. Before any of that information came to light, all Chance's parents knew was that he had walked away and they expected him to return after he had cooled off. Chance's parents decided to stay in that evening since it was already dark and they figured everything would be okay. But by the next morning, Bailey called to say that Chance was still nowhere to be found and that they were going to go out searching for him.
So about 11, she called and said there was a bad storm and she had to quit looking for him. And so we went to bed and my husband was sick all night. And about 8, oh, it was probably later than that because I had actually gone to church. He called him and asked if he called us yet. And of course not. And then she called us again at 11 and said she was filing a police report. My husband wanted to go down again Sunday afternoon, but I just kept thinking he would come walking in the driveway and meet us. So I asked Bailey if she wanted us to come down, and she said, no, no, we're good. We're good. We don't need you down here right now. So Sunday night, we talked again, and she kind of cried, and she's like, I just know he's coming home in a body bag. And I said, oh, honey, I don't think that. You know, there is a good chance, but no, let's just stay positive.
After the search commenced, Chance's parents and brother left their home in South Dakota and jumped into action doing everything they could think to find Chance.
It was about 10 o'clock. We drove down, my husband, my son, and I, to Gearing. We just kind of drove around lost and didn't know what was going on. We'd been to Gearing, but never drove around. We just went right to the grandparents' house and the church for my grandson's baptism. We just kind of drove around, and we went and met with Bailey and them, and then we went and drove around again. And every place we looked, there was search parties walking the canals and the empty fields, and it just broke my heart to know they were just looking for my baby. We were told we weren't supposed to interrupt with any of the main searches. So every place we went, we would go farther out and try to look ourselves. Finally, Monday night, I went and met the cops by ourselves because I just wanted them to know just who we were and how upset we were and what they knew. And then Tuesday, we got up and kind of did the same thing. Tuesday, late afternoon, Captain Rogers called us, Bailey and I, to come to the police station. When I got in Bailey's car, I was freaked out. I thought, oh my God, what were they going to tell us? And then I'm like, well, they wouldn't have mom and wife drive down if they had bad news. They'd have somebody with us. So I thought it must be going to be good news. And it was just that they didn't find anything. And we talked a little bit. And that was the first time Bailey asked for a death certificate. And Captain Rogers just kind of looked at her like he was kind of surprised and said, well, Bailey, we don't work with that kind of stuff. And in my heart, I feel we're going to find him. I'm treating this like my brother's lost, and we're going to do everything we can to find him. So we went back to her grandparents' house and sat and stared at each other some more. Got up the next morning and started it again. And then we went to the debriefing with the police department Wednesday morning, and that's when we did our first news.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. I've never been to Nebraska, so we asked Dawn to share what the landscape is like in Gearing and what the search entailed.
We've had more rain than we've ever had, so the grass is extremely tall everywhere, a lot more water than what anybody's used to. They're called bluffs. They're kind of like a rock formation. With you not being around here, we're from the Black Hills and the Badlands, so it looks like Badlands to me, but it's like a rock sandy formation, very rugged country. Some of the places they were thinking we should go search, my son Miles was like, he wouldn't have went there. I mean, Chance was very athletic and he could walk and outwalk you in a heartbeat, but it was to get like the big deer. He was not going to go out of his way to work out to get anywhere. He was going to take the easiest. I really felt he told his friend he was walking the highway, which we call it the ditch, which nobody else seems to understand that, but he was taking the highway and walking to Torrington and send somebody to come get me, is what Matt told me he said. which totally made sense to me.
When we spoke to Bailey, we asked her to walk us through the events of the day Chance disappeared. This is what she had to say.
We were just down visiting our family, and the guys all decided that they wanted to go golfing. So him, my brother-in-law, and my dad, they went down to the Baird Golf Course and drank a lot and golfed a lot and, I don't know, had fun. He called me, and we were supposed to meet some friends for dinner that night, and he was in a super good mood, so I drove out there. And I got the baby out of the car, and I started walking over to where everyone was sitting, and he stood up and said, "Get the fuck back in the car, we're leaving." So I thought that was really weird. So I was kind of looking at everyone, and they're looking at me, and everyone is just super confused. We left, and I canceled plans with my friends, and he had misunderstood something that somebody had said about him getting, about the mine shutting down. Because in Nebraska, the minimum wage, I mean, it's hard to make really good money in Nebraska. Even if you're super skilled, you're not going to be paid worth a shit compared to what you are in Wyoming. And so they made a comment about at least he wasn't making minimum wage by Nebraska standards because he was making good money and he just took it the wrong way. So he was upset about that and he really wanted to go home. And he had been drinking just enough that there was no talking any sort of sense into him. So I just kind of went with it and was like, okay, we'll go home. So I drove to my grandparents in Gearing, Nebraska, where we had been staying, and I went in to pack my bags. We pulled into the driveway. He's like, "No, I said I wanted to go home." And I was like, "Yeah, just hold on. I'm going to go grab our bags and we'll leave." Well, he took off walking and I ran the baby inside, took him out of his car seat, handed him to my grandma and ran back outside. And I started driving around looking for him. Several phone calls later, rainstorm hit. I just never got him found.
While Bailey was talking about what transpired that day, I wondered if it was a common occurrence for Chance to just walk off, like Bailey said, or if this was a special circumstance.
When he gets pissed off, he goes to the shop and he has a beer and he works on his derby cars and he comes back in and we're fine. He has a temper, but when he gets pissed and it's over quickly. So it's not like him to be passive aggressive or anything, you know? So I got up that morning and I figured he would have stumbled in at like midnight. And at the latest, early that morning. And I got up and I was like, something isn't right. He still wasn't answering his phone and started talking to everybody. Nobody had heard anything. And I knew that wasn't my husband. And I was trying to get a hold of Verizon that day to see if they could tell me where his last phone call was. Because I was trying to avoid calling the cops if he was just out having issues or whatever. And Ryzen wasn't able to tell me anything, and I filed the police report by 11 that morning.
When no one could reach Chance after Bailey said he walked off, Chance's family thought that maybe his Aunt Katie would be able to reach him, since the two had shared a close relationship. And Katie says that he would never decline her phone calls.
Don had texted me and asked me to call him because Matt had called them, his buddy, to say that he walked away from the house down there and that he called wanting him to come pick him up. My uncle, but Chance called him Uncle John as well, also tried and he didn't answer. Well, Dawn knows that usually Chance will always answer Aunt Katie's phone call. So she called me to, or texted me to ask me. And so I called him first and he didn't answer. So I sent him a text and he answered me like an hour later. And I answered him back and I didn't get any response. And I didn't really think much of it. I thought, well, he's either back at the house and he's busy or, you know, they're fighting it out or whatever the case is. And I'm not pushy, you know, he knows I'm always there. And so I let it go until the morning and I texted on and said, "Hey, have you heard that Chance is back at the house or not yet?" And she's like, "No, he's not." And I'm like, "Well, I got a text from him last night at 9. And that was the last text that he had sent.
The day after Chance walked away, Bailey knew he would have returned and started to fear for the worst. So she decided it was time to file a police report. She told us more about her experiences with law enforcement.
Oh, they didn't take it seriously. They thought they kept wanting to treat it like it was just another drunk that just stomped off and everything was going to be fine and he was going to come wandering back. They didn't start taking it seriously. until me, my dad, my mom, I believe his mom, there were several of us constantly calling the police department, telling them that they needed to get to doing something. They just didn't treat it seriously until a day or two later. Then they were like, well, yeah, I guess we should probably get a search team going. So then they finally got that going, looked into a few phone records, and that's honestly been about it. They followed up on some leads, which my husband did not just get in a truck and take off somewhere. Like, whatever happened to him is pretty bad. And they just keep treating it like he just decided he was done with everybody and left. The cops are doing an investigative approach now. So whenever we get a lead or we think of another spot that you could have dumped a body or something, then my mom goes out and she combs the whole area. So, I mean, it's just a day-by-day basis at this point. They told us that since it rained, they wouldn't be able to track him by scent. So they brought out cadaver dogs. Well, they never got a hit in those 2 or 3 days that they were searching. Well, I talked to some big league out of Oregon, I believe. And he works on like national cases and he goes clear up into Canada. And he was nice enough to get into contact with me and give me tips on these dogs. And he said rain actually enhances the dog's scent.
There's been some speculation that Bailey and Chance had an argument that evening in the car prior to Chance walking off. We asked Bailey about their conversation in the car.
And that's just a lot of people who don't know anything. They want to try to, is just trying to put it on me. We did not have an argument at all. He was upset. It was one of my family members. I don't want to say because I don't want to, because he already feels bad enough about it. And Chance just interpreted the information wrong.
Without any obvious conclusion, we asked Bailey if there was anyone who would want to bring harm to Chance and what the searches for him have been like.
Honestly, everybody loved Chance. Like, he made friends everywhere he went, and so that's the really confusing part. And we have him last on tape walking through Tarrytown, which is a super bad part of the area. I've never met anybody more excited to be a dad. Like, when I found out I was pregnant, I was freaked out, and he was literally jumping up and down. He was so excited, and he loves being a dad, and he's great at it, and there's just no way he would have left us. We've done everything. My mom, she is still doing searches. We were getting up every day. I'd feed the baby, and we'd, like, figure out some more acreage that we could go cover in any possible area that he could have been, wherever they could have dumped a body. To say that we've searched miles and miles and miles is an under-exaggeration. Nobody has busted their ass harder looking for my husband than what my mom has.
When we spoke to Chance's friend DJ, we asked him how he came to find out that Chance was missing, and when he knew something wasn't right with his friend.
Now that's water park, and got on my phone, and Bailey posted that Chance didn't come home on Facebook. So I went down there. I went down to Scott's Bluff that night to go look for him because he doesn't not show back up. He'll go on a walk and shit like that, but he always shows back up. So I thought that was out of character, so I went looking for him. And just kind of walked around Scott's Bluff, searched the river. Then Bailey came out and looked for a little while with me because I could understand if someone needs a break and disappears for a day or two, but about 2 days later, I figured something was wrong.
With no clues and no direction to point to where Chance might have gone that night, we asked his mom, Dawn, what she thinks happened to her son.
You know, I honestly don't know. But it would have had to have been somebody he felt comfortable with. I mean, not that he knew, but like somebody that just, you know, a nice pickup pulled up and said, hey, kid, you need a ride. It wouldn't have, I just can't believe there's that kind of evil people in Gary, Nebraska that would pick him up and do anything either for no reason. And, you know, and if there would have been a group of guys that yelled out at him, I could have seen him smarten off back to him. But then I'm thinking, but he would have been all by himself. He would have just kept walking. I just don't think he would have tried to start anything. He wanted to get out of Nebraska. And they keep saying about the storm. Well, the storm was a good hour after those videos, 45 minutes or so. He wouldn't have been in the area they keep saying he would have been unless somebody picked him up or did something to him. And that's why I think it had to have been somebody he was comfortable with or new possibly, because I'm sorry, I just don't see a drug dealer, a meth head, going to pick him up in broad daylight or in the middle of the worst storm they've ever had in Scott's Bluff. I'm so naive.
We tried to contact the law enforcement officials investigating Chance's disappearance, but they didn't return our phone calls or email messages. Chance's mom, Dawn, told us that at first, she felt like law enforcement put forth a lot of manpower in the search for her son.
I know that week they did try hard. I'm not doubting that. I don't have any bad feelings about that. I mean, as a mom, of course, I wanted more and want more answers. And now I don't know. They always tell me that they've not forgotten him and they can't discuss things with us and they're just following up on leads as they come in. So I did reach out to the state police and I found out Gearing has not invited them back since that first week. So I am making phone calls to the attorney general's office and the state attorney's office. And by no means am I saying that Gearing PD hasn't done enough. I'm not. I just don't want my son's name forgotten. I believe somebody did something to him and they need to pay for it. He's not a kid that walked away to start a new life. That's not my son. He would never do that to his family, his brothers, or that little baby. And I just don't feel that Gearing PD is big enough. I've now since learned there's probably a lot more crime there than they wanted me to know. And I just feel like they need some help. It's not that I don't trust them. I just think we need more people in and we need to find answers. I still keep calling. I call the state attorney's office and keep calling people to see where I can go. Get his name out more, talking about him more, that somebody will say, oh, God, remember, we heard about something like that. Or somebody will get nervous and say something. I honestly don't know what to do. And if anybody had any advice, I wish they'd tell me. I've been told by the sheriff's department, Sheriff Mark Overman, they've went out on a couple other calls. They're not really helping Gearing PD either unless they're called in on it. If there's things that they feel like they need to check out that's outside of Gearing in their county, they have went out on a couple different searches, I guess. So I guess really what I do is each week I pick a different law enforcement and call and remind them of who I am and that I want my little baby back. And, you know, saying, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but I wanted to hear a voice and I wanted you to hear my voice. And I want you to remember Chance Engelbert. I was sitting outside on my swing and just kind of trying to breathe again. And I got a call from Captain Rogers and I was expecting some good news or something at least. And he's like, I just need to know, are you being represented by the family's attorney here in Gus Bluff Gearing? And I said, what? I have to get a lawyer? And he said, no, I don't necessarily want you to get a lawyer. I want to know if you are being represented by this lawyer. And I said, I didn't know there was a lawyer even called. I said, why do we call lawyers? I thought we let the police handle it right now. Because I'm dumb and naive, I'll admit. And I didn't understand. I said, well, do I need to hire a lawyer? Because in my mind, I've already missed work. My son's missed work. We got to help pay Chance's bills. I can't afford a lawyer. And he's like, no, we would rather you not get a lawyer, but we need to know if we can talk to you. And I said, well, Captain Rogers, that's what scares me is when I'm not really considered his next of kin anymore. Is there going to come to a time that you can't talk to me? And he said, that's what I'm concerned about. And I need to visit with our lawyer. So we just wanted to make sure you weren't being represented also. A couple days later, he called me on something else. And I said, well, I thought you were going to call back and talk to me about this lawyer deal. And if you're able to talk to me. And he's like, oh, no, we're able to talk to you. In the future with Bailey's family, we have to go through our attorney first, though. And from what I've heard from the other law enforcement, I mean, Captain Rogers has been very careful and hasn't said much. But from what I heard, it just really slows down the process, actually. And I said, well, why does one hire a lawyer in the first week or two? And they said that was to get the Gearing PD to work a little faster and harder.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Dawn doesn't know what happened to her son, but she shared that his relationship with Bailey was, at times, a rocky one, and that she had tried to help them in the past by offering to get them counseling in order to resolve some of their issues. Dawn doesn't want to believe that Bailey's family had anything to do with his disappearance, but some things have left her with lingering questions, like why hire an attorney? Why ask about a death certificate right after he went missing? All of this on top of the fact that an argument with Bailey's family was the catalyst for Chance walking away that day.
I keep telling myself we all mourn differently and she's very young, but it's really hard to not judge. I don't know if she knows exactly what happened that night, but I think something was said that was so horrible that he got out of that car and walked off. He has got a temper, but he is the type that would walk away. He would not be abusive. He would not be aggressive. I know it broke his heart to fight in front of that little baby, even though he's not very old and didn't understand. And he just hated the fighting and the drama. We always knew he was walking on eggshells. She would tell me a time or two of fights. She'd call me screaming about what he supposedly did and didn't do. And I always just begged her to leave him. I said, Bailey, if you think he's that bad, just leave him. I offered to get him counseling and her counseling and the two of them counseling. And she said, oh, I guess you don't want to see your grandbaby, do you? And I said, that is just crazy. I want you guys to be successful and have a happy marriage. And marriage is hard enough as it is the first year or two, let alone bringing a baby in and this kind of baggage.
Chance's Aunt Katie told us about the theories she has wrestled with as to what may have happened to Chance.
I mean, I can tell you my honest feeling is that he got in a vehicle with somebody and he's not down there. That's my feeling, my gut feeling, and I've made that very clear from the beginning that he wanted to leave and he was going to do everything in his power to get away from there. I really feel like he either got in the vehicle with the wrong person or he trusted somebody that he knew and they ended up hurting him. I don't want to admit that he's not with us anymore, but after this long, he's not capable mentally to not contact one of us. You know, that's just not his personality.
Dawn told us that Chance's disappearance has caused some friction between their family and Bailey's family. She said that Bailey's mom, Tracy, has done a lot to look for Chance. But with no clues and lingering questions, they're trying not to let the divide between the families get too big. Being in their grandson's life is also very important to them.
Tracy's worked very hard on it, and part of me wants to say it's because she wants to bring Chance home in a good, positive way, and then part of me is like, she's afraid what really happened and needs to be the one to find him. I don't know, you know? That's what I hate, and I just wish everybody could just come forward and talk and be investigated and get us all cleared so we can move on to the next who did it part.
Tomorrow will be, it would be about 2 weeks that we've really talked. She came down to the fair, to our derby. That fair was, it was very hard to go, but the fair is always very important to my kids. We used to run the derby, in fact. And so my husband, everybody kept telling my husband that Chance is going to come home and he's going to come home at that derby. So you have to be there. So we went to the derby and she showed up right before the main event and shocked us because we didn't think she was coming because it got to be so late. And I'd asked her the day before to please quit driving back and forth at late at night. Because I said, if something happened to you or Banks, I don't know what I would do. So we talked that night and they gave us some money and a plaque for Chance. And I turned to her and I said, I just want you to know any of this money being raised now is going to get hire a private investigator. I said, the one that is trying to help me find people is asking for a $25,000 retainer fee. And she's like, oh, God. I said, I know, but I'm bringing the best in to find my son. And I didn't hear anything from her for after that. She got in her car and left that night. I mean, she said goodbye and everything was good. And I got to kiss the baby.
Having a loved one go missing is always devastating. People are often consumed with the what ifs and feel like they're letting their loved one down if they aren't constantly doing something to look for them. Chance's Aunt Katie told us that she sees the toll this is taking on Chance's mom and is doing her best to be there for support.
We all love her and she knows that anytime. And I've told her I only live like 10 minutes from the up the road from her. And anytime I'm like, I don't care day or night. If you just need to go for a drive or want to just talk, I'm here. And she knows that. I made her go with me like 2 weeks after it happened. She needed a haircut, everything. And I said, well, get in the car. We're just going to go because you need to get away for it, you know, and I'm not judging you for it. So you need to do you. You have to have self-care you. Otherwise life is, you can't not do that. So they're great people. I can't imagine them not in our lives. They were meant to come into our lives for a reason.
So what happened to 25-year-old Chance Engelbert on July 6th, 2019? We know that he was seen on surveillance walking northbound on 10th Street and that a witness thought they saw him not far from where he was seen on video. He had contacted a friend asking him to pick him up. He was mad and looking for a ride. He said he was walking to Torrington, Wyoming, and to send someone to pick him up. According to Google Maps, it would have been about an 11-hour walk from Gearing to Torrington, so it's unclear if Chance was planning on hitching a ride. His friend couldn't go get him because he had had people over and they had been drinking, so his friend contacted Chance's mom. When she and several other family members tried to reach him via phone and text, he didn't answer or respond. His last text message was sent around 9:08 p.m., and his phone last pinged not far from where he was last seen. There were massive search efforts put forth to locate Chance, but they haven't turned up any clues. Searchers combed more than 2,400 acres of land, and several waterways in the area were searched. Did Chance just decide to walk away from his life after the altercation he was involved in? Does someone close to him know more about what happened? Some point the finger at Bailey, that she must know more about why Chance was so upset and possibly more about what transpired that evening. They take issue with her attitude after his disappearance, asking about a death certificate and her family hiring an attorney. But as Dawn mentioned, Bailey is young. She's just 20 years old, and all of a sudden, she's a single mom trying to keep things together for their infant son, Banks. And we all grieve differently. If they search such a large area and haven't found Chance, is it possible that he got a ride with someone? There is a truck stop in the general area where his phone last pinged. Could he have hitched a ride with a trucker or someone else who could have harmed him? One theory that law enforcement officials have discussed is the possibility that he could have succumbed to the elements because of that bad storm that came through the night that he disappeared. They said the rain was very cold, and they wonder if he could have gotten hypothermia. Also, the possibility of lightning. But with all the searches turning up empty, there really isn't any evidence pointing to any one outcome. At the time of his disappearance, Chance Engelbert was 25 years old. He's approximately 5'11" tall and weighs around 195 pounds. He has brown hair and brown eyes. If you have any information about the disappearance of Chance Engelbert, you can call the Gehring Police Department at 308-436-5089. You can follow Chance's story on Facebook at Help Find Chance Engelbert.
Maybe he said something to the wrong person. It's hard saying. Maybe Bailey's family did something. It's speculate all day. I'd like to think maybe he just couldn't take Bailey no more and took off, but I don't think that's the chances of that happening.
They've had cadaver dogs. They've had nonstop people out walking around in areas that they thought. I know Don and Everett were down there for a week with Miles and some other relatives, and they were down there looking and knocking on doors and everything they could do. They were getting search parties. I think there was 17 counties involved at one point in time, out helping and looking right there in that area. I'm hoping that they are onto somebody, but they just can't tell us because they don't have hard evidence yet. I mean, we haven't heard anything for a long time from any of them. But he's very loved, and I can't see this being something he would ever do, honestly. He would have came to one of us if he felt like he had to disappear. He would have reached out to one of us, knowing that there are so many of us that would never judge him and whatever his decision is.
That brings us to the end of episode 197. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from California. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of 2 young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When 2 of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but 2 trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.